So you're podcasting with your pals the other day. Hey, everybody, this is Greg.
And I'm Patrick.
And we're excited to bring you a very special episode of Nerds United. We're talking about our favorite television show from our neighbors to the north, Letterkenny. So grab a Puppers or a Gus and Brew and join us on Nerds United.
Comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United. Greg Mahochko here with my buddy and podcast friend from my other website. Not my website, jitterymonkey.com is my website, but we are both contributors and podcasters at cornnation.com. While I co-host the Five Heart Podcast, which focuses on Nebraska Cornhusker football and touches on, you know, a lot of the other sports, Patrick is one of the co-hosts, one of the three-man weave of the Of Bangarangs and Daggers podcast. Now, the name itself might just be like, well, that's random. It's not a Robin Williams Hook reference, is it? I don't think so. Only Kent Pavelka would know for sure. But it's all about Nebraska basketball. Patrick, welcome to Nerds United, your very first foray into my other podcasting life.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I look forward to this. We've been talking about it for probably about a month now. And I'm glad we're finally doing it.
As we mentioned in the intro, this is going to be all about Letterkenny. And how did you first come across Letterkenny? Because I know that I found it on my own. Like, it wasn't one of those shows that, you know, somebody introduced me to. And I'm not, like, taking credit, you know, like, years and years ago, I was the first person that I knew who, you know, got on the Breaking Benjamin, you know, bandwagon, even before, like, my token rock music buddy had heard of him. I was listening to him, had the CD. Letterkenny was kind of similar. I found it on Hulu, and welcome back.
We're back.
So Letterkenny was one of those. I just found it on Hulu, was curious about it, and started watching, and that was probably season four when it came out, and then I just started watching it all, and you know, now season eight's about to come out. So when did you first come across Letterkenny, Patrick?
I want to say about a year ago. I was trying to think of it before this podcast started, and I want to say about a year ago, I too found it on my own. I didn't find it on Hulu. I think I found one of their little snippets or shorts on YouTube.
Okay.
And it was one of the first ones, because it was one of the early seasons. I think they were playing catch, I remember, and I watched it like five times. It was one where
Are you talking about Squirrely Dan's relationship?
Yeah, Squirrely Dan's relationship, and they were playing catch, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, you know, they find out how his relationship's going. It's a little bit more than they want to know, so they quit playing catch with him. I think I watched that one like five, six times in a row.
Well, not to be impolite, but this gal suggested that maybe I should have some attentions paid to my butthole.
And of course, I was curious about this little comedy troupe, so I Googled them and probably found the Wikipedia page, probably found out they're on Hulu, realized that we have a subscription to Hulu, and started watching all the episodes. And I don't like binge watching.
No.
I'm not a binge watcher. A few years ago, I realized when I binge watch, I don't remember a lot. I remember watching, I think it was getting ready to watch the third season of Orange is the New Black, and I think that was the last season I ever watched. And I remember getting ready to watch it and realized I didn't really remember anything of season two. And little bits and pieces would pop in my head when I was watching season three, but I realized that was not a good way to watch anything. I mean, what's the point if you're not going to retain it, if you ask me? But I came close to full-on binging Letterkenny. I had to push myself away after each episode because I wanted to watch the next one so badly. And that's how much I enjoyed it.
It's, you know, I came across The Office and Parks and Rec, in all fairness, much later than everybody else. Probably when both of them were already off, you know, television. So they were on Netflix at the time. And so, especially for The Office, like, I watched the first episode, and of course I'm talking the American version. I watched the first episode that first time. This was several years ago, and I said, you know, I don't get it. I don't, you know, I gave it a shot. I gave it the old college try, as they would say. And I was like, yeah, it's just not for me. You know, I'm going to go watch something else. And then, you know, a year, 18 months, 2 years, whatever it was later, a couple of my buddies really pressed me, like, hey, you know what? It gets better. If you can get through the first few episodes, or even that first season of The Office is 6 episodes. If you can get through that, it really does pick up. So I gave it a second shot, and now, you know, The Office is one of my favorite shows. In fact, I was watching it before we started recording tonight. I'm the same way. I will binge it, and I find that comedies are a lot easier to binge. You know, I don't want to sit there and, you know, like you said, Orange is the New Black was not a show that I ever got into, but, you know, like my wife and I used to watch like Criminal Minds. You know, I think that's the one it had. It doesn't matter who it had. It had actors and actresses, whatever. But, you know, those hour long kind of dramas are not something that I want to sit there and binge, because, I mean, first of all, it takes a lot longer to get through, you know, one episode and then two and then three episodes. But at the same time, it's a lot heavier material. You know, I just want something that's kind of lighthearted, something that I can laugh at and move on. And I found that with Letterkenny in a big way. I also found that, because it's such a smart show, the writing is impeccable.
They do such a good job.
They do, and so you have to pay attention. It's not like one of those where I can, you know, be watching it while, you know, looking at my phone or anything like that. Like, you have to pay attention. Going back, you know, I might have to amend how I first, you know, quote unquote, found it. Like you, you know, you found the that clip of them, you know, playing catch and suddenly cutting Squirrely Dan out of the game. I think I first came across that cold intro, you know, where Derry's, you know, feeding, you know, information to Wayne, and Wayne's just going through the entire alphabet talking about, you know,
the alphabet where they're outside freezing their butts off. Yeah.
And I,
that was probably one of the first ones with me too. And it's so good.
And it's, again, so smart, you know, it's, the show itself, it's got a lot of heart. I mean, you look at, I think it's episode 2 or 3, the super soft birthday party, you know, that they throw for Derry. Because he didn't really have any family growing up. So, you know, Wayne and Katie kind of adopted him. You never really hear too much about Daryl's, you know, family or anything like that beyond that episode. And
well, so you don't hear about anybody's family.
True.
Which we'll get to. I'm not going to lie. I've got some issues with Letterkenny. But we'll get to in a little bit. And was it Derry's birthday or was it Wayne's birthday? Because Wayne and Katie didn't celebrate growing up.
I thought in the episode it was Derry's super soft birthday.
It could have been Derry's, but wasn't it Wayne and Katie who didn't have the birthdays growing up?
Maybe.
So that's why they went so hard into
Maybe.
It?
Maybe. Yeah, okay. So hard.
Hopefully somebody listening will correct this.
So hard by making it super soft.
Exactly.
And if this were a 5-heart podcast episode, we'd be working in a sponsor ad right there. Anyway, I know you like to joke about that. I'm not trying to say, you know, like, they use big words as like, I can't keep up. I understand most of the words you're using, but
it's not like Doctor Who, which takes enough out there speed science that you kind of need to sit there and think for a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's intelligently well written.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going over your head. A lot of the slang they use and terminology they use, you kind of got to pick up as the episodes go on. Like, I would never use the word Furta in my life.
Here's the thing. And this is comical and timely, because earlier today, we just had my son's 4th birthday party, and he turns 4 2 days before Christmas. So, like, let's get a little separation. And, you know, around the holidays, it's tough enough to get everybody together once, let alone twice. So we just, you know, had it a few weeks early. But my soon-to-be four-year-old, I have taught him. I don't want any crap for this, Patrick. But I have looked at him dead-eye like Jonesy and Riley. And I have said, wheels, snipe, selly, boys. And then and then Furta with the low bones. And he, you know, it, we don't practice it enough.
In time
it'll come. And let's face it, of all the characters on Letterkenny, Riley and Jonesy, probably not the ones I want him to emulate. But let's talk a little bit about the show itself. As we mentioned, it's a Canadian television sitcom created by Jared Kiso, and developed and primarily written by Kiso and Jacob Tierney. Tierney is the director. He also plays, I believe he plays Glenn on the show. He's Glenn on the show, the kind of pastor. Etc. As you mentioned, it started...
The southern-sounding pastor.
Right. He's from South Canada, a.k.a. Minnesota.
Even though the show itself isn't that far off the border.
No. As you mentioned, it did start as a YouTube series called Letterkenny Problems, and then Crave...
Well, it started as a Twitter account.
Oh, did it? See, I didn't know that.
I think it was started as a Twitter account of one of Jared's friends' actual hometowns.
Okay.
And it started that way, and then I think Jared took it over, turned into Letterkenny, and then it turned into an actual skit and stuff like that.
I gotcha. So then the YouTube and then Crave, which is a network up in Canada, debuted it. It's only been around, I mean, we're at the end of 2019. It's only been around, you know, less than 4 years. They're already on, you know, season 8 coming out, you know, at Christmas time, which...
But it's like two seasons a year.
Yeah, it is. And it's not, I mean, it's...
6 episodes each.
Right, right. So, I mean, I don't know if they just do that differently in Canada or what, but Letterkenny, Ontario, loosely based on Kiso's hometown of Listowel, Ontario. It's won for Best Comedy Series at the 5th Canadian Screen Awards in 2017. And up until... let's see. I guess up until episode or season 7, it was Crave Original. Did you notice on season 7 on Hulu that it said Hulu Original?
Yeah, because I think that was the first season that came to Hulu, wasn't it? Or was it like 5?
No, I mean all seasons are on Hulu.
No, they're on, but like when they started carrying it.
Oh,
like they had a few seasons before Hulu carried it. I want to say it was right around 5 or 6 when Hulu started carrying it.
Yeah,
them all.
So who it says here, and I'm taking this from Wikipedia, so take it with a grain of salt. But in the U.S., Letterkenny distributed by Hulu, the first two seasons debuted not until mid-July of 2018. So that would probably line up to, like you said, 4 or 5. So there you go. That's the kind of a brief overview production.
So we basically had not even a year and a half worth of exposure to it here in the States.
Right. And, you know, again, aside from, you know, what folks can, you know, could watch on YouTube and, you know, Facebook videos and things like that, there'll be times that I'll just put on Letterkenny Problems, like the Facebook page, and just watch old clips or newer clips. So let's go at to the beginning, because I feel like the show has evolved. There's been kind of, you know, like strings of narrative throughout, you know, all 7 and almost 8 seasons now. Wayne is your main character, but he's one of the Hicks along with Daryl and Squirrely Dan. Wayne's sister, Katie. You have the Skids, Stuart, and Roll, and you had another one in there in the first couple of seasons. I can't remember. Devin, I think, was his
name? I think
so,
and he just vanished.
Yeah, he did. They might have mentioned him.
I think they mentioned it briefly, like he left, but they didn't dive into it.
We mentioned the hockey players, and then you have Glenn. You also have... I'm going to use the language that they use. Apologies. Don't mean to offend anyone. You have the natives, who are led up by Tannis. You have Modine's, which is a popular hangout. Or
Modine's 1, 2, 3, 4. It keeps getting shut down.
Yeah, shut down or burned down or whatever, having to be rebuilt. And for the life of me, I cannot think of the owner. I can't think of her name to save my life. But I can tell you who I do remember that works at Modine's, Bonnie McMurray.
And more importantly, her brother, well, we don't know her brother's first name. It's just McMurray.
Just McMurray. And he's an ass.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I see.
I feel bad for him. I think they pick on him way too much.
I don't know. I think he's got a lot of. There was the
He's weird as heck. Don't get me wrong.
He and his wife, Mrs. McMurray, have a very unique relationship that fans of the show are aware of. But there's an episode there, and it's. I think it's the one time that I want to say I don't think Katie. I think Katie slapped McMurray, but not Wayne, but wanted to. And it was when, not McMurray, but Daryl, when they were explaining the guy talk. Remember when
when McMurray comes back from like to talk about his Vegas trip.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guys were even so like, I hate hearing about this because it's so vulgar.
Yeah. And
they explained it to Katie, and even Katie was insulted.
Yeah, and it's one of, it's the, but then I think anybody who remembers the end of that episode when she's talking with Mrs. McMurray, she's like, huh, maybe I need to go down to Cancun or wherever for spring break.
Well,
it seemed like.
Yeah, well, she was trying to convince Katie to go down to Cancun. I kind of took it as Katie was like, oh, this is perfectly fine because this is how they.
This is how they are, yeah.
You know, and she's like, I'm not mad anymore.
And little spoiler, if you. The McMurrays, quote unquote, live the lifestyle, folks. They're swingers. They would be the key parties from back in the day. I've never been to a key party. I'm not ever going to go to a key party. I don't think they have key parties anymore, Patrick.
It would be a key fob party.
So the series, as I mentioned, there's been that kind of thread. The opening episode of season one has Wayne, who had just broken up with his girlfriend because she was cheating on him. And
Angela, right?
Yes. And he had promised Katie, his sister, that he wasn't going to fight anymore. That's the thing.
No, he promised his ex-girlfriend that he wasn't going to fight.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, he promised Angela, and then they broke up. So he's like, all right, I'm back to... The thing is that he has to... They have this thing there where they have like the toughest guy in town, and Wayne used to be it, but he quit fighting because his girlfriend asked him to. And so he was no longer the toughest guy in town, so he had to work his way back up to being the toughest guy back in town, and he's basically just beating the crap out of these dudes.
I remember because that first episode, right at the end, like the climactic scene, the guy that Angela was with now, or you know, at that time that wasn't Wayne, was in the bar in Modine's and causing a ruckus and was picking on one of the drunk, you know, locals, townies or whatever you want to call them there outside in the alley or whatever. And Wayne, I think, looked at his sister and got like that approving nod saying, all right, big brother. And I love it because he'll take a swig of his Gus and Brew. He'll flick his cigarette. And as he's walking towards whoever he's going to fight, he's undoing his flannel shirt cuff button. And he's a scrapper, man. And as odd as it is to say, here's the thing. And I don't know how it is with you, Patrick, but like, I want to be like Wayne. I find myself more like Squirrely Dan or Derry, depending on the day.
Derry. Yeah. No, it's, or you kind of think of like a mixture of two.
Yeah.
Like a little, like kind of Wayne Derry-ish, you know? Maybe when, you know, you're around your boys, you're like the hockey guys. It just kind of depends. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot to like about all the characters.
Yeah.
Even as bad as they are.
And there are, yeah, you know? Okay, for example, talking about the McMurrays and times that, you know, like they just are as awkward as hell. And yet, one of my, it never fails to make me laugh is when they're on the golf course, or they're trying to rally Wayne and the rest of the Hicks to go with them to the golf course to defend the Canada Gooses.
That degenerate son bitch has put the wheels in motion to oil and grease up the eggs. God, Jimmy.
The fuck are you talking about, oil and grease up the eggs?
They tracked down the Canada Goose's nests, put oil in the Canada Goose's eggs so they won't hatch.
What? So mother Canada Gooses sit on their eggs and wait diligently for them to
hatch, but they never hatch. The Canada Goose's slings die inside the egg.
What? What? What?
What?
I never been so irate in my whole fucking life.
You don't fuck with Mother Nature. You don't fuck with that cocksucker.
You don't fuck with motherhood.
There's a special place in heaven for animal lovers. That's all I know.
Those are fucking Canada Gooses. Those are Canada's fucking Gooses.
Canada Gooses are majestics. Barrel-chested. The envies of all ornithologies.
They are leaders. Born and bred leaders.
Canada Gooses are Van fucking Guard.
Van fucking Guard.
Guardians of the fucking galaxy.
You know what? You got a problem with Canada Gooses, and you got a problem with me, and I suggest that that one marinate.
Oh. It's a good one. It's a good one. I got a question for you, and I'm sure you mentally or probably on a piece of paper have a bunch of stuff how you want to discuss Letterkenny on this podcast.
No, but I don't.
My question to you, because I have one in my head, what is your like favorite or definitive episode? The one that you look back on and say, this to me is Letterkenny. This is what I like about it. This has everything, or this happened in it, which made me really happy. Is there one that you have in the back of your mind?
Do you have one in?
I do.
Okay. You go, and then I want to look it up real quick. I mean, or
no worries. Yeah, no, because you got to know the name of the episode. And okay, unfortunately, this one, it's in French. It's end of season 5, last episode. It's Bach et Bish.
Oh yeah, the Bach et Bish. Yeah,
yeah, and it's an episode. I like it not because basically it ends in a huge fight, which is normal for Letterkenny if you watch the show. But I like it because you have pretty much every they're there for Derry's honor.
Mm-hmm.
Derry gets cheated upon by his girl, I think, right?
Yep.
Or goes to get a girl, I can't remember. And like they're all at Modine's 27, whatever bar it is. And it starts out as just a small crew, and then more and more guys show up. And finally, you know, even McMurray shows up, and in the end, they all are drunk. And they all get in their cars to drive to Quebec. To beat up Quebec. And Quebec to beat up on these guys. And it sounds really bad, but if you know the episodes by then and you know how all these guys interact, and yet, you know, you got Wayne who hates the hockey players, they're involved. You got the two guys, I can't think of their names, who Wayne beat up to become the toughest guy in Letterkenny. You have Wayne's friends, and you even have McMurray in the end showing up, and they all go together. It was kind of like a bonding moment. And to me, like, it just made me happy that all these characters who have issues with each other in the end are there to back each other up. And it was a good way to end that season. And it just, to me, It's just proved why I like the show, I guess. It was another one that was well written. There was great dialogue leading up to it, and it was just maybe it's just my macho-ness. I thought it was a good episode for that reason.
Bach et Bish was written by Jonathan Torrens, directed by Jacob Tierney. Jonathan Torrens also has worked on another Canadian show, which I've never watched, but I guess it's similar, and that's Trailer Park Boys. Did you ever watch Trailer Park Boys?
I did. Back in the day, I did kind of binge it through Netflix. I never got into the movies. I never got into – I think they restarted it up a few years ago. I watched the original ones, and that was good enough for me.
Okay.
I've never had an interest in going back and watching the new stuff, but it's good. It's funny. It's not – as good, I would say, as Letterkenny, but it's definitely one worth watching. Though I will say, by now, a lot of the stuff in there is pretty dated, but that kind of adds to it because it's a trailer park. So,
So looking at the list of episodes, and again, this is fortunate that it's, you know, they've got the name, they've got a little description. One of the ones that that I just always enjoy. It's like a little bit of a game show, but it's Uncle Eddie's Trust, Season 2, Episode 5, when Wayne and Katie inherit the money, and everybody has to, you know, it's their money, but they don't really know what to do with it. I guess the produce stand's doing well that season. And so they're just kind of like having auditions, say, throw me your pitch. It's kind of like Shark Tank, Letterkenny's version of Shark Tank. Throw me your pitch, and we'll see. But I love it because every one of them, you know, Katie's like, oh, you know, I could see that. And Wayne always has questions, but every response
they're
is
all
saying,
bad ideas.
Yeah, they are. They're not good. He's like, but all of us, he's like, and for that reason, I'm out. And then they end up just, you know, using the money to throw a big party. I feel like that's,
yeah, they ended it with a kegger.
Yes. I mean, that's the Letterkenny way. I also like season 3 when they get to Quebec, because always good time fishing in Quebec.
And they meet their doppelgangers.
Exactly, their French versions of the Hicks. It's great. And I love how that Ontario-Quebec relationship is formed, because that's how we get to, you know, eventually where we're at as season 7 ended in heartbreaking fashion. Of course, we know that Daryl and Anik had, you know, a relationship, and then she was stepping out on him, and you know, he went to, as you mentioned, you know, fight for, you know, her, and then right at the end of episode 7 or season 7, which we'll talk about here in a minute, he goes back to Quebec to try to win her back. I don't know if she had called or I don't know. He was just feeling.
I think it was out of the blue. He's just like, I love her. I miss her. She, you know, even though she cheated on him and everybody told him this is stupid, he went back.
And that was the point, because, you know, Wayne's telling him, Katie, everybody's telling him, hey, once they cheat, you know, that you don't ever go back to him. And so they go back to Quebec. I think that's 14 different ways that I'm saying Quebec now. In doing so, they find right at the end of the episode, right at the damn end of the season, Letterkenny, you killed us. Because I watched this first, and then I'm texting you, Patrick, have you seen this, Pat? And I know I can go back in my phone and look at that text, that exact moment when you watched the end of that season, because you said, fucking Marie Fred.
It made me mad.
I was pissed. But she was in the hallway behind a door, necking with some Quebecer, and Wayne's right there, and there was a scrap. And you know, we'll find out what's going to happen here when the new season comes out.
December 25th
in Canada, and the 27th in the States on Hulu. So, I mean, you know, it's their show. They should probably get it 2 days early, right?
Of course. And we can always pirate it.
What did you think about this newest episode, or this newest season, when the Hicks had the Kraken egg?
You know, I thought it was good. It wasn't anything special. It wasn't like some of the seasons where they kind of dive into more of the characters. They don't really go too deep into anybody or any particular topic. You know, it's kind of that, you know, the main things, that Kraken egg call-in show that they have on the local public access station, and they kind of just kind of go off that. They don't use all the characters they have historically. You know, some characters bounce in and out. They bring back the hockey team,
yeah,
which is good. You know, that was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But there really wasn't any major drama until, well, the very last scene where Wayne, who finds his fiance now, remember he got engaged end of last season.
That's right.
Finds his fiance cheating
Day,
on him,
right?
Out of the blue. And, you know, honestly, I wasn't a huge fan of Marie Fred. Not her per se, but just her character.
Right.
They try to make her out like she was kind of the same as Wayne, which I didn't think they wrote well, and I don't think she acted it well. You know what I mean? Like, it was kind of awkward, like a lot of their conversations and stuff, and they kind of made her look a little, it just didn't make sense to me.
See,
you know what I mean? And maybe there's a reason behind that, but everybody acted like she was totally cool. and she was perfect for Wayne, and I'm kind of watching it going, I don't see it.
Maybe it's just because I was blinded by love, but really from the first episode, when you find out that, you know, Wayne's last relationship ended because, you know, Angela was cheating on him, I just wanted Wayne to be happy, by God. You know, you know, he had Rosie for a little bit, and then she went off on, I can't remember exactly the reasons why she had, she was leaving town, going to do, you know, something out of town, whatever it was. So tried Tannis, and they just didn't work as a couple, but, you know, did a little toe curling here and there. And then Marie Fred, I don't think I'm missing anybody in there except.
Yeah, you're missing, what's her name? Oh God. The bartender at Bodine's, the owner of Bodine's, her cousin?
Yeah, no, that's Rosie.
Oh, you're right. It's Rosie. I'm sorry. I had a brain fart.
That's all right.
My fault. Yeah.
And here's the thing.
I liked her.
Yeah. Well, and
she kind of comes back this last season.
Absolutely right. You know, spoiler. You know, they got together, and it was at the time when Wayne was also looking for a stud for his German Shepherd, and then even after they broke up, they're like, well, the dog's not, you know, eating or anything. I mean, both of the dog, they kind of like the dogs fell in love, which is kind of, you know, little. It's the weirdest thing because, you know, Wayne will be, you know, drinking, fighting, smoking, cussing, everything. But the dude has a heart. And really, that's what I think one of the underrated aspects of the show is that, you know, like everybody's kind of got a soft side to him, you know, like they all just kind of, and it's really weird because as you know, we saw in the, you know, the Hicks get, you know, Daryl had headed out to Quebec, but it was like McMurray had to really kind of convince Wayne to get there. You know, Squirrely Dan was there. They went and got the hockey players. They kind of rallied the posse, so to speak. But they do the same thing about every time there looks to be a big scrap, whether it's, you know, you're taking on fellas from Quebec or D-gens from up country. You know, it's there's something about Letterkenny. Yeah, it's a town of 5,000 people, you know, quotes, as they tell us at the beginning of every show. But they rallied. It's got that small town atmosphere. You know, everybody's kind of looking out for everybody else.
I'm from and live in a town of 750. I understand.
Well, they've got you beat by exponentials.
Oh yeah, that's a major. That's a metropolitan area compared to where I'm at.
Well, I mean, I'm no stranger to small towns. It took three towns to make up, you know, the enough kids to fill up my high school. I graduated 82 in my high school class. Yeah, it's just they. It's a community. You get that sense of community from this show. Even, you know, even the with the skids, you know, who are
druggies.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
Not everybody listening knows what a skid is. I sure as heck didn't.
And that's been one of the fun things about this show is learning the language. You know.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And like you said, you know, don't think you'll ever in your right mind use Furta, but they're. There's a lot of that slang.
Pracky.
That
Pracky. Oh,
Pracky.
Oh, God. If anybody.
Could you imagine?
If anybody ever called practice Pracky, somebody would have popped him.
I just want to go back because you're a basketball guy. Just go back to that Allen Iverson press conference. We're talking about Pracky. Not a game. Not the game that I love, but Pracky.
Which makes it hilarious.
We mentioned, you know, some of our favorite episodes. Do you have like a specific scene or two that are, you know, just right up there as far as like, you know, if it, you kind of single it out if you're, you know, going through watching the season, or maybe you'll on occasion, you know, just you know, type it into YouTube just as a, just to relive a memory.
You know, I would say probably the alphabet one, cold open, is probably one, just because it's easy to find.
All right, after autumn.
Ask anyone around the area about accuracy. Arctic activities are abundant, astonishing, astounding, and A1 on all accounts.
Back up.
But before beach bodies, bros better bundle up in boots, blankets, and balaclavas, because a bloody bitter breeze will blow brisk, blustery, and bleak.
Careful.
Correct and common to cocoon in a cap coat and comforter, because a cutting cold can consume your character, occasionally create a corpse, and continually compress your cock.
Another one would probably be when the hockey players had lost their love for hockey and they were confused and lost, and a pastor was trying to help them. And in the end, he's like, I don't get you two. Because in the end, they figured it out themselves. But I mean, like the people watching, we didn't get it either. So that was probably one, just because of the writing. These guys are dumb jocks.
Right.
But how they talk to each other and how a lot of their interactions written is very, I think, fairly intelligent. In the simplicity of it, and they kind of come across at times as like kind of idiot savants in a way.
I want to double down on that, because I think it was episode. Well, let's see if I can find the episode. It was when Katie got back together with the hockey players, but only one of them, and it was Riley. So Jonesy's kind of out there, you know, like a man, you know, without a home, and he's standing out in front of, I guess, what would be, you know, the Canadian version of Dollar General. And he's got the skids on one side. He's like, come on, Riley. Jonesy, come over. Come see it. And then he's got Glenn saying, you need Jesus. So, you know, he's like, he's got the proverbial angel and devil on his shoulder, just trying to, you know, you need Jesus. No, you need rips. that one made me chuckle. But I think my go-to, if I had to choose, and I get to choose because it's my show, would be S&P, the choice for me.
Nice.
When, you know, it, bird of beef, 100% bird of beef. And just for whatever reason, it's, I don't know, because I love a good ribeye.
We've all had that conversation.
Absolutely. And
we've all had that conversation.
Let me ask you this, not necessarily related to Letterkenny, but since we're talking about steaks, how do you like your steak, Patrick?
Oh, rare.
Okay.
Very rare.
I mean, like, yeah. Do you just carve it off the cow and go?
Pretty gosh darn close. Like, if I could have it blue, I will.
Okay, I mean, that's fine.
I love it. It's just me. It's and it depends on what cut you're doing. I am a believer that there is no bad cut of meat. It's all in how you prepare it.
Okay.
So I like rare. How about you?
I like my medium. As they say in the show, you know, I like to get the grill nice and hot, make nice grill marks. What is it? 400 degrees, 1 minute each side. Flip. Four times for the good grill marks or whatever it is. But as far as I remember hearing this, take with a grain of salt. I can't remember the source, but like if you go into a restaurant, let's say a nice steakhouse or something like that, and you order steak comes out, and then you put steak sauce on it, that is like a slap in the face to the chef. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah. And I agree with it.
I'm going to go back. I'm going to turn the calendar pages back. Let's see, 2019 we're in now, so it's got to be 2008, summer of 2008. I'm dating, you know, my now wife, and at my apartment, we, you know, she's over, and actually the friends of ours who introduced us, you know, to one another are over, and I cooked up some steaks, which was not easy to do because I didn't have, you know, I was second floor apartment, so I didn't even have like a grill. So I had a little electric grill or something like that. I had to sit outside.
Little hibachi.
Something, man. It was something. And my one friend who was there, she said, "You got ketchup?" And she proceeded to put ketchup on the steak. And then I didn't talk to her for like 8 months. For a host of reasons, but that was definitely one of them. I was like, you talk about slap in the face. Like, steak sauce is one thing, but don't be putting ketchup on a steak that I cook.
I'm anti-ketchup anyway, so.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Though. I just, Well, I know. Yeah, I just don't like the taste of it. I just don't like ketchup. So
what's your go-to condiment? Wait, no, I know this. I know this. Your go-to condiment, not necessarily for steak, just in life, hot sauce.
Oh, yeah. You know it. You listen to the podcast.
I listen to Of Bangarangs and Daggers. We'll have to tell good friend of the show, Nate, that episode
Nate
made it.
You. We mentioned him. Now he'll listen to this episode.
I don't think he will.
You should get him on here, man.
I don't know. Nate's not funny.
You need it.
No, huh? I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, no, exactly. We won't get into that. But no, he's an intelligent guy with a lot of knowledge and a lot of different subjects. He's got a lot of interests, very well read. Find a right topic, you could bring him on here and you'd have a good podcast.
I mean, I like to think I have a good podcast with or without him, so.
Oh, you do. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, you want one episode that's good? Throw Nate on.
Well, this has been a great episode. Patrick, I appreciate you taking some time out because it's Saturday night. We both got things we could be doing. I'm actually going to hold on because I want to go to bed too. I'm going to hold on to this episode until middle of the week. But just a reminder to any other Letterkenny fans out there that a new episode, if you are north of the border, drops Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas to you. Otherwise, it's going to be December 27th on Hulu, which is where I'll find it. What are your thoughts? There's real quick, separate from Letterkenny, St. Louis, Missouri has a brand new aquarium that's opening up, and it's opening up on Christmas Day. Your thoughts? Like, should an opening take place on a major holiday where most things are closed? People are with their families?
Well, like there are other holidays to do that on. Like, I would want to say Thanksgiving would be better. Because that'd be one where it's like, hey, let's have dinner, but let's also go to the aquarium. Christmas is like, we're all staying in.
Yeah.
You know, and plus you're making people work on Christmas.
Right.
That's so, kind of, I mean, that's, even if, for the most part, even if you're not a big Christmas person, that is kind of sacrilege.
Yeah. I mean, we'll definitely go. We're just not going to go on Christmas. So.
Yeah, no, they must have analytics that say different, but whatever.
Well, you're a numbers guy, and as I look at the numbers, I see it's about that time to go. Patrick, I appreciate you spending some time joining me, talk about Letterkenny, one of our favorite shows, and we'll have to do it again when we have more time, or another fantastic topic to bring you back.
Yeah, anytime. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
And we have a tradition on Nerds United. We always end the show like it was the 1980s or 90s, and there's that sticker on that VHS that you rented from the store. And what does that say? It tells you to be kind. And Patrick?
Rewind.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.